It's the end of Ed Fringe tomorrow, but shows are still up here aplenty, and the sound of staplers stapling their happiness, their stars, their quotes onto flyers is still happening. This is called Fires Our Shoes Have Made, and I think I'm joined by the producer and the director. Who am I joined by?
Kate, and I'm the co-producer but producer of our company, which is Pound of Flesh.
And
Matt, the director of the show.
Now, tell us about Fires Our Shoes Have Made.
It's a piece of gig theatre which sort of takes hip-hop infused slam poetry and combines it with an original score that varies between sort of acoustic and electronic elements to tell the story of two children running away from home after the death of their mother, sort of hoping to blaze a trail for themselves, but soon being hit with the harsh reality of the city they live in.
Now, for somebody who goes, I've heard of poetry, what's slam poetry?
It puts an emphasis on like punchiness and rhymes and internal rhyme within the sentence so that we're hitting exciting points, hopefully sort of in collaboration with the music to make punchy statements which stand out in a sort of overall web of the text.
How did that get written?
So we have an amazing writer called Oscar Sadler, a good friend of ours, who did a module studying poetry and slam poetry and has sort of entered slam poetry competitions himself and sort of fancied writing a bit of long-form poetry, very inspired by the work of, like, Kate Tempest, and turning into, like, an inherently theatrical thing, which we thought was quite unique and something that perhaps hadn't been brought to gig theatre in quite that way before. So we gave it a go.
And what's gig theatre?
Oh, that's the golden question, isn't it? In my perception, it's something which involves music and song in some form to tell a story, which usually has some sort of relevance and is quite contemporary. Mm. But that's a tricky one, that one.
Well, maybe you focus on the word gig, particularly.
Yes, yes. So gig theatre in its like purest form, I suppose, would be stood up. It would be almost stadium sort of style. It should be loud, it should be in your face. Gig theatre at the Fringe, I think, varies slightly more towards the theatre end of the spectrum of that.
So a couple of questions around that. One would be, yeah. I mean, those people that actually weren't into poetry and then somebody shared with them a YouTube video or two of Kate Tempest at mm-hmm. Glastonbury mm-hmm. and suddenly they were still listening at the end of a long poem. Mm-hmm. Suddenly goes, oh, poetry can be like that, can it?
Yes.
And I guess that's the bit here, isn't it? And it's come to the Fringe more than ever this year.
Yes.
But this is, you talked about, you're bringing a story here too. Those that are not into poetry can still be captivated right to the last moment.
Absolutely. I think following off the success of previous years of like Middle Child and Electrolyte sort of reigning big here and winning a load of awards, we're seeing a way that poetry is being made into a really accessible form, where you can follow it simply as a story. And one of the things we've had, one of the most sort of rewarding audience responses we've had is people saying, oh, the first 5 minutes I didn't realise what I got myself in for, I was really worried, and by 15 minutes in I realised I was actually interested in following the story without even realising it. I think that's the sort of goal that we aim for, really.
What's the theatrical element of that?
The theatrical element is all in the sort of the presentation and the movement, the characterisation, highly physical characters, highly physicalised sequences that require a huge amount of energy outside of from our actors. And the simple fact that, at least in our show, they're not playing themselves. They're playing people outside their lived experience, but they're portraying their emotions in the best way they possibly can. It's certainly got heightened moments. It's certainly got non-naturalistic moments. It varies back and forth. I think that's something that we focused on a lot because we have more of a theatre background than a poetry background.
How do you bring a show like that to the Fringe?
A lot of rehearsal. Gig theatre is one of those things that needs a lot of rehearsal. Lots of components, the music and the devising process takes a while. But gig theatre is something that's kind of, it's caught its wave at the Fringe, and I think it's a really exciting year for gig theatre. So, yeah, we're just kind of riding on that, I think, a little bit. So, yeah.
And for those that don't know, again, what's the devising process? What does that mean?
So we start with the script, which was kind of written in phonetic dialect, and then we chose to kind of devise the score, the music, and kind of go, you know, what music fits this point and what music would convey this emotion that's being felt right now. So it was a lot of collaborating and a lot of experimenting, but yeah, it was really fun and is kind of create something really unique, and every show is different, so that's really exciting.
Has the writer been involved?
To a certain extent, yes, in terms of logistically cutting down the script, because it was way too long initially to fit a Fringe time slot completely, and in terms of the performance of the poetry, he has a greater expertise in performing spoken word and slam poetry compared to myself, so he will come in and talk about rhythm and accent and how that works within the internal structure of the piece.
Does that create a little bit of kind of at least assistant writer for you, where sometimes the writer might go, that needs cutting, but you also go, for this narrative to work here, given we've only got an hour or so, I think we need to do something with that?
Absolutely. I think particularly with this one, because myself and Oscar, the writer, are really close, it was very like, this is our time limit. We need to, anything that goes off of the main plot, anything that doesn't carry the main emotional arc just has to go. And although his approval was always there, there were definitely points where a couple of days before we came, just crossing out bits of the script to get it down another 2 minutes and get it under time. Yeah.
And then, well, I won't count the number of stars, but, you know, there are some words next to it like genius, truly stunning, impressive and grounding. I like the one about exhilarating and spine-tingling. Mm. Now you've got this thing and you've played it a lot. Mm-hmm. One of the dangers is we all crash after Edinburgh, but are you already sowing the seeds for what happens next?
Yes. Well, at the moment we're working very much with a drum pad which uses pre-recorded sounds connected to a laptop, and we're hoping that we can expand that alongside a sort of acoustic guitar. We're hoping we can expand to more of a traditional gig setting, a band setting, where we can aim for some more liveness. And I think that will, you know, as much as it's really nice to have these exhilarating, spine tingling, I think that will truly make it a bit bigger and a bit more present and a bit more loud and fun for an audience to watch.
It sounds like this show has ended on fire itself, which is good. Thanks for talking to Fringe Review.
Thank you very much.